Hello and welcome. For the past few months, there's been public outcry over the Draft Environment Impact Assessment Notification 2020. Activists, environmental groups, biologists, students, the Aam Aadmi, we the people have been saying, hold on, what's going on here? The Environment Ministry's deadline for public feedback on the draft EIA 2020 notification ended on the 11th of August. Now, the Ministry has received nearly 17 lakh public comments, and the Union Environment Minister, Prakash Javadekar, has said that thousands of suggestions were received, and he says they will be considered before the final draft is made. So what is the EIA, and why has this draft raised so many concerns? An EIA is intended to estimate the environmental impact of developmental or industrial projects, such as, let's say, a new factory, construction of roads, laying down of railway tracks, mining projects, dams, etc. These assessments include holding public hearings with the local community that are likely to be affected by the project. And this draft has landed in controversy because now many claim that it is anti-environment and pro-industry. So this new draft, which is meant to upgrade the last EIA of 2006, it has some worrying inclusions. Let's take a look at them. One, projects operating without clearance can receive one later. Violators can pay a penalty and continue their operations. Two, 40 industries at least have been exempted from prior clearance. This includes projects labeled as strategic by the government. Now, also importantly, information on projects or information on these strategic projects is not to be made public. And the window for public opinion and public feedback has been reduced. Government, developers, not the public now only can report violations. So we're asking tonight, does protecting the environment adversely impact economic development? And is it not possible for India's environmental and economic objectives to converge, to go hand in hand? On the show tonight, Vaman Acharya, he's a member of the Ministry of Environment and Forests in the Southern Zone. P.R. Rashmi, formerly the Joint Secretary in the Ministry of Environment and Forests. He's been India's Chief Climate Change Negotiator from 2008 to 2013. He's currently a Distinguished Fellow at TERI. Mr. R.R. Rashmi, thank you for joining us. Chandrabhushan, he is the CEO of the International Forum for Environment, Sustainability and Technology, one of India's foremost environment and climate change experts. Shibhani Ghosh, an environmental lawyer and fellow at CPR. Asif Bamla, spokesperson of the BJP from Maharashtra. He's the president of the Bamla Foundation, which works on environmental issues. And we have Nikhil Day, co-convener of the NCPRI, a well-known social activist. Shibhani Ghosh, let me start with you. Yesterday, the Prime Minister, from the ramparts of the Red Fort, spoke of the need to balance the environment and development. He said that India is marching or is leading the march towards development, showing that it is possible to balance development and the environment. Going by the EIA 2020, is that true?
Well, I don't think so. I think the draft EIA notification that has been put out for public consultation, which we are discussing today, I think it is actually detrimental towards the environment and towards larger issues like the climate change, which it certainly doesn't consider as much as it should in this era. I think the level of scrutiny and assessment and appraisal that should happen before projects develop for, which are going to come in for developmental reasons, that kind of scrutiny that's required will not be given to those projects, and they are likely to cause immense and irreversible environmental harm. And I do believe that this draft EIA notification in that sense dilutes an already weak environmental regulatory setup, both in terms of the law, in terms of the institutions. I think the situation will only become worse if the current draft comes into force.
Vaman Acharya, please respond over here. Doesn't the government have a social obligation to protect the environment, or is it all about ease of business?
Government has its duty to protect the environment, and I think government is doing much better than what it used to be. You just imagine what has happened in the last 60 years. Such laws, so many committees, so many papers come here, we all go through them. But follow up, most of the cases have ended up where not following the rules has become a rule. Because of this, what has happened is the environment and pollution situation in India in last 60 years, in spite of these committees, has worsened. It has not improved. So we ultimately you have to see that it is not just passing the application that comes for an environment EIA clearance.
So, Mr. Acharya, you're saying no one was following the rules in the past. So, is the answer to dilute the rules, so make them fewer rules to follow? You're saying these committees were of no use, so just do away with the committees. Is that the solution?
No, not that nothing was being followed, but most of it, what is important for most of the clearances that are given is the serious following is not done. They have to be followed up, because if you don't follow up, ultimately what happens is the pollution. So pollution has to be stopped by not just giving sanctions or making it very rigid. In the past, one application that reaches MOEF used to take around 5 to 6 years, 6 to 7 meetings to come. And people, the members used to ask hundreds of questions, and members had no right to go and visit and see what is happening.
But Mr. Acharya, this is exactly what Shivani Ghosh has just pointed out. She's saying, according to this new draft, the government is saying we can go ahead and objections can be raised later. You can pay penalties and then, you know, later, once you've carried out whatever, you know, changes you need to in the environment, does it work that way? Once you've cut a tree, then you can go and say, oh, maybe we were wrong, so I'll pay a penalty. And I mean, the trees, 500-year-old tree is not going to grow back. Your argument that, you know, there was too much paperwork.
We agree.
But this is the environment we're talking about.
Yes, I fully agree that this was more of a paperwork and no physical work at all. Here is the time. Because whatever things have come out today are just first part of the improvement that Government of India wants to do. I was also a member of such committees. There are 4 or 5 committees, one for highways and rivers, another for mining, another for industries, and there are committees for other purposes. Here also, what was happening was the follow-up procedures were not rigid. Only people sitting in Delhi in an AC office will pass the applications that come, and nothing was happening. The latest amendment wants to see that the permissions are given faster, but at the same time, follow-up, which will be second part of the improvements now, is yet to come.
That's basically the gist over here. Thanks, Mr. Acharya. Permissions given faster. Mr. R.R. Rashmi, you've represented India at international fora when it comes to issues like climate change and the environment. This notification in its present form, basically in a nutshell, you know, permissions given faster, ease of business, does it align with international agreements that India has made? Let's say, you know, the Paris Agreement. We know the U.S. has also raised issues with agreements like that. Does it pose a threat to our goal of achieving sustainable development and sustainable growth?
No, not at all. In fact, the Paris Agreement and the EIA rules, these are two different things. The Paris Agreement is being served by the nationally determined contributions, NDCs, which Government of India has announced. But that's a totally different story altogether. Here we are discussing the EIA rules, which deal with the business of granting environmental clearances to projects, developmental projects. How should that be done? And this 2020 notification essentially seeks to consolidate the existing body of instructions and changes in the rules that were originally notified in 2006. Large number of rules have instructions have come into force. So it essentially consolidates them, simplifies them. So it's a I think it is aimed at streamlining and simplifying that broad picture. And also, in the process, it seeks to make the process of clearance a little more transparent. Mm. I think we shouldn't be unduly alarmed by the process of consolidation of the rules there will always be some window for simplifying the procedures in the interest of fast-tracking the clearance procedure. In fact, in the past, the complaint has been that the clearances are not being given fast enough, and it is coming in the way of development and economic growth. So we have to balance the interests of economic growth as well as environmental
All
protection.
Right.
It cannot be one or the other. It is not a completely compartmentalized and segregated discussion.
All
These
right.
two things have to be seen together. And the ultimate objective of the any process like this should be to simplify, to make things easier for both for the purpose of environmental protection and also for industrial development, which cannot be sacrificed.
All right. Nikhil Deb, Mr. Rashmi says transparency is important, and that's what this draft focuses on, because one of the major concerns raised by several players, one of the most prominent concerns has been the exclusion of public hearings in several key projects under the B2 category specifically. So this draft notification has reduced the time for public hearings from 30 to 20 days. So the stakeholders, that is the public, those who are going to be affected, those who are going to suffer, we the people, the poor, yet the public, the government says their voices, their views, their opinions, not as important.
So that's a really important thing in all this, that when we say that are we looking at economic profit or are we looking at environmental protection, what we need to look at are people. People are the ones who want a functioning economy, and people are the ones who want environmental protection, and people are the ones who want a policy that will be in frame with them. And that's why this particular law, the environmental protection law, and it took 10 years for this particular notification to come out, which included public hearings, which included people, which included a whole process of involving people to see if anything was going to go right or wrong. That entire structure is being diluted, and diluted in a manner that is most non-transparent. Firstly, certain things are being called strategic, and if they are strategic, they won't be shown at all, not just national security. But if anything that government defines as strategic will be completely secret and not shown to the people, then you have much poorer means of public hearings, public disclosure, and even the government has gone to the Supreme Court saying that it won't even translate or the particular notification into 22 languages. I have here a 2014 document which says any law that seeks to be sought, you seek to change, you must consult the people about. There must be a pre-legislative consultative process. It's a Government of India document. That is not being followed, and the EIA is a public consultation, pre-legislative consultation. That itself is being removed. So we are, whoever experts are sitting on this, to say that this is a very good provision or a bad provision, we have to have faith in the people. They are the ones who will tell us what's good or bad in it. This law came about after the Bhopal gas tragedy. We must remember that. If we had experts deciding whether an industry should be located somewhere or not, and experts deciding whether pollution was there or not, whereas people all along were raising questions about it, this law taught us that we need to consult people and bring them on board. Let us not shortchange that process. 20 lakh up to about 20 lakh applications have come to government to be heard from people, ordinary people, from children who are saying we care about our future, Fridays for Future, and they were slapped with a UAPA case. Can we imagine what we are trying to do, and the government is saying that they will decide for us what's good for us?
Mr. Rashmi, please respond over here on that point that you raised about transparency. The government will decide. The public's opinion is not valuable here.
Well, I have gone through the notification. I have not seen anywhere that the process of public consultation has been completely dispensed with. It is still
not
there.
Not dispensed with. It hasn't been dispensed with, but basically it's been narrowed down to 20 days.
Exactly, 30 to 20 days.
While clearances are being given during the lockdown, how is someone...
Well, one can quibble about the time. One can think of 20 days or 30 days. But essentially, the spirit of public consultation is still there, and that must be protected. And there is absolutely no two arguments about the fact that the public consultations are essential, a precondition for grant of environmental clearance, and it is still there. The time period can always be negotiated and it can be discussed. That's a different matter altogether.
Okay.
The question is that of trust, simplification, and the fact that we need to balance the developmental interests along with the environmental protection goals. And just because if we make the process difficult, we cannot assume or presume that the environment is going to be protected at all costs. In any process, any social or environmental process, there will always be violations, and the rules must make an accommodation for the cases of or possible cases of violation. And this is exactly what the rule does, that it you talked about the post facto clearance, but the post facto clearances are only aimed at violations which might take place if the clearance process is too long, too difficult, or too tardy, or too strenuous.
But why have post-facto clearances when the government says they're smoothing out the process? There will be no waiting period. There will be no interminable wait and paperwork to be done. But let me bring in Chandrabhushan. Chandrabhushan, the conundrum here is basically that we know that the government cannot be, the environment, you know, I beg your pardon, cannot be protected without eradicating poverty. Also, the impact of environment degradation is felt greatest by the poor, by India's poor. And it is in the name of India's poor that the government is saying that development is required. This is done in the name of development to pull millions of Indians out of poverty. Chandrabhushan, can you hear me? Chandrabhushan, can we check, Mr.
I can't hear you. Sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
All right, let's try and get your connection checked again. Maybe if I could go across to Shivani Ghosh. Shivani, if you could respond over here to what you've heard Mr. Acharya say and Mr. Rashmi in response to your criticisms at the beginning.
Right. I'll make a few points here. First of all, if you look at why this, the preamble of the draft notification itself, I mean, why is the government coming out with this draft notification in 2020? And you don't really see anything to do with improved environmental outcomes. You know, we are seeing regularization, standardization, rationalization, expediency, you know, we're seeing these words. And I don't really see how it's actually for the improvement of the environment. And I think on the whole, if you look at various provisions of the draft EI notification, they actually don't conform to the parent act, which is the Environment Protection Act. And this, after all, is a delegated legislation, and it has to conform to the parent law. Otherwise, it is an illegal piece of legal instrument. Secondly, just want to bring in a few numbers here. Just by the MOEF's own kind of statistics available on the website, since 2014, the environmental clearances that have been granted is at a 92% level. So, I mean, there are 92% of the projects that have applied for ECs and their applications have been accepted. 92% get cleared. So it's not clear who is really worried that they don't get clearances, that there's a delay, or then there's been a kind of there's hindrance in their in India's development pathway. That's not clear at all. The third thing is about public consultation. You know, the question is not just about reduction of days, which in itself, of course, is very important and very crucial, because what really is happening here is, first of all, people only had 30 days to consider very complicated technical reports, which often were not even available in the language that they are conversant in. They would be available in English or perhaps in a regional language that they didn't understand. But now they actually have 20 days to understand all that, kind of form their opinion, decide their strategy, reach out to experts to actually understand what the impact of the proposed project would be. And so this 10 days less is going to have an immense impact. But it's not just that. It's also the number of projects which will now no longer require a public consultation. Projects, for instance, 50% increase in production capacity, that kind of a modernization, all those projects are now out of the public consultation scope. Something like inland waterways, something that this government is extremely keen on, is categorized as a B2 project. It doesn't even require an environmental impact assessment report. And imagine an inland waterway, something like National Waterway 1, which is the Ganga. And we've just come to know about the importance of the Gangetic dolphin from yesterday. And the Gangetic Dolphin is going to be directly affected by the development of the National Waterway 1, which is the Ganga.
And yet the Prime Minister in his speech said yesterday a project has been launched to protect the Gangetic Dolphin. Asif Bhamla, you're joining us from Maharashtra, where again we've seen, like we do every monsoon, the city come to a complete standstill, intense flooding. You know, we've seen this today in Hyderabad and Telangana, how denuded hills cause major floods. Every day we're living the story of the price that we're paying for environmental degradation over the past many decades. You are an environmentalist. You have been felicitated by the government. Are you happy with this EIA draft?
You see, I'm not assuming things before they come into practice. A, we are aware that the environment impact assessment, it's a draft that's being prepared. Of course, normal, it used to be 60 days, and now they were offered 150 days. And obviously, there are 2 million comments received and there are a few repetitive ones. Now, certainly, functional economy is very important, but and also an environment protection. So, for me, as an environmentalist, if I may say, sustainability is the way forward, and definitely development is the priority, but not at the cost of environment. But for the ruling that the economy has undergone with past lockdowns and COVID and stuff like that, it is important to gain the confidence back. And obviously, again, I'm going to correct you. By gaining confidence, I don't mean that it has to be any which way is compromised. So what I'm saying is that there are comments that are being vetted out. The CSIR and I think NIRI are looking towards it. And MOE, EFCC, the Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climatic Change, is a responsible body, and it will take a strategic call, because if you have a prime minister just speaking and giving a statement on Independence Day, and that's about the climate change, so it shows and it talks volume. It shows of the concern and of the narrative of the government. Now, we are not here, and I don't want to politicize this, because I said I'm here more in the capacity of environment, because I obviously have addressed the seminars at the United Nations headquarters in New York and so on. So what I'm trying to say is that we are aware that the monsoon session is here. There would be a robust and a comprehensive discussion and a correct paradigm to expedite.
Actually, not true. Many states are saying that the Kerala chief minister, for example, is saying that the government is pushing this through without even consulting the states who are likely to be most affected. But Chandrabhushan, I hope you can hear me now. We haven't. If you can, I want you to just give us a closing argument. What's the way forward? We're talking so much about ease of business. The economy has been badly hit by this coronavirus pandemic. So we do need to push for development. The government has pressure also that it's facing. But why can't we perhaps, incentivize industry to change its mindset from clearances to compliance?
See, I think both is required. Clearance is required and compliance is required. I was hearing the argument. Point number one is actually your paperwork is going to increase because of 2020 notification. It is an 83 pages worth of notification with so many forms that the amount of paperwork that will be required to be more than what was there in 2006. So this argument that we are going to reduce the paperwork is not valid. That is point number one. I think Mr. Rashmi made it very clear that this notification is nothing but a combination of all the amendment that has been done since 2006. And 2006 notification is possibly the most amended law in the history of environmental law in the history of India. We have amended it 50 times and there are 200 office memorandum. So 2020 is bad. The point is even 2006 notification is bad. And I think we should take this opportunity to start discussing what kind of clearance and compliance we require in 21st century in the wake of COVID-19 and climate change that we all will face. I think that's the bottom line. You don't want, this country to hurl towards a disaster. Think about it, what we have gone through in the last 6 months. And I think this would be a, child's play compared to the impact of climate change that we all will face. And I think it is important that we recognize
We're out of time today, but we'd like to put light and give conversations like this some presence in the media. This is We the People. We believe it's important to speak up, but it's also important to listen. We will continue to focus on this issue because we think it is going to affect each and every one. We the People are going to be most affected if by any environmental issues. Thank you for joining us.